Good morning, and welcome to Focus 580, our morning talk program on AM 580. I'm Tom Rogers. Henry Frain is our technical director this hour. Out of nearly 300 million people, about 3 million Americans claim Greek heritage. About a tenth of that number actually speak Greek at home. But the impact of several generations of Greek immigrants belies that number. In a little over 100 years, the Greek diaspora in the United States has found its way into the mainstream of society while preserving their ethnic identity. Filmmaker Maria Ilyeu has encapsulated that experience into The Journey. It's a documentary of a 90-year period from 1890 to 1980 as Greeks left their home country and made their way to the United States. The documentary gets a showing this Friday at the Spurlock Museum on the University of Illinois campus as the U of I launches its Modern Greek Studies program. We speak with Maria Ilyeu this morning, who made the documentary, as well as her partner in the project, historian Alexander Kitroev. And they join us this morning. And good morning to both of you.
With you this morning.
And good to be with you. Let's also make sure that our listeners can get in on the conversation. You can ask your questions about Greek migration for our two guests. Our numbers, in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455, and the toll-free number for those of you outside the local calling area, 1-800-222-9455, 333-WILL, 1-800-222-WILL. Well, first, I'd like to ask Maria, who is also the founder of what's called the Proteus Foundation, based in Athens, and tell me first, Maria, a little about what that organization is and how this dovetails into this particular project.
Well, Proteus Foundation is collecting archival material, visual archival material, photographs, footage, oral testimonies, music, sounds that have to do with various themes connected with Greek culture. The first project has been The Journey, the Greek American Dream. So the whole topic of the immigration in the United States. Till now, we had seen few photographs and few films that have to do with the immigration of the Greeks in the U.S. And what we did is we searched at the beginning at Ellis Island, and then with Alexander and with George Tsellos, that is a supervisor archivist in Ellis Island, we found out slowly that there were materials all around the United States that nobody had seen. And the first stop after Ellis Island has been the ex-Bals Institute, the Philadelphia Historical Society. Mm-hmm. Then from then, we discovered the Atlantis papers, photos that had to do with the family of Vlastos that printed the first Greek-American newspaper.
And that's a newspaper that appeared sometime just after the turn of the century, is that right?
Yes. And after that, we've been all around the United States. So we collected photographs and footage from more than 50 archives in the United States.
So a wealth of information that sort of came out of nowhere, but now has some seen the light of day through this documentary.
Through this documentary, through a book that we published in collaboration with Museum Bernanke, and through a DVD and an exhibition of photographs as well. And the idea is that after some years, Proteus will donate those materials in a museum in Athens and in a museum in the United States as well, so that everybody can have access to this material that till now was everywhere. And it was very difficult to find it because it was not cataloged under a voice like Greek Americans, or it was, you know, we had to use all our fantasy in order to discover those photographs. They were everywhere, and they were unnumbered.
And did you call upon, I mean, could some of these photos come from just family albums and that sort of thing, too?
Some of them, yes. They were donated in various archives by families. Some others are photographs of very well-known photographs. And others are photos of completely unknown photographs, but of great strength, mm-hmm. emotional strength.
And it is a very emotional documentary, a very interesting story. What is it, Alexander Kitroev, that prompted the migration to the United States? Was this a migration that was prompted by events that happened in Greece, or was it just the search for economic prosperity?
Well, there was Both, really. What happened in late 19th century Greece, there was a crisis in agriculture. Prices dipped, and people decided that they needed to do something to defend their living standards. And this was right at the time when emigration to the United States was starting from Southeastern Europe. So thousands of Greeks started moving from Greece to the United States, and they became part of the big influx of Italians, Poles, and other East Europeans at the time.
And they came into a multicultural society that, you know, as with all other immigrants, it was probably a bit of a culture shock coming from a fairly, you know, homogenous society into the States.
It was a culture shock in many ways, and that's such a fascinating story with the immigrants, because they left small towns and villages in rural Greece. For them, going to the country's capital, Athens, would have been a culture shock, let alone travel across the Atlantic and then arrive at Ellis Island and get into New York City at the time, and encounter both the development and modernization that New York represented, and of course the multiculturalism. They were encountering new people, people they hadn't even, they may have read about them, but they would have never met.
And so how did that, you know, the blending take place? Was there interaction with other cultural groups? And what made the Greek migration unique?
Well, there was interaction, but there was also friction in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Many of the new immigrants in the United States at the turn of the century were so desperate for jobs that they tended to accept the lower-paying jobs, and sometimes when there were strikes by older immigrants, the Greeks became strike breakers in a sense. That happened early on in the textile industry of New England, but gradually, as they got settled and more assimilated and accustomed to what was going on there, they themselves joined the unions and then worked side by side with the other ethnic groups, including Irish and Poles. And then through the workplace, they got to get to know those people and see that they had common characteristics. And, of course, ethnic neighborhoods in many of those places were venues where the Southeast European immigrants met each other.
And I guess they sort of worked through the same systems, too, with the padrones, the people that they would meet in the U.S. and they would link them with jobs, and then you're sort of indebted to them.
Yes.
It was an Italian system.
Exactly. There was the system that began with the Italian immigrants. And, you know, there's a scholarly debate about the padrones, because on the one hand, they're exploiting the workers because they're the labor agents. Mm-hmm. So they're getting people to sign up for particular jobs. So there is an element of exploitation. On the other hand, they are actually finding people jobs, the conditions may be bad in the beginning, but having got a job, then the immigrants themselves can do things to improve their work. So it's a nice debate, this role of the labor agents and the ways that they get the Southeast European immigrants into the labor market.
Was there a network waiting for them? And Maria, you can join in as well. I mean, was there a network of people or possible jobs waiting for some of these immigrants as they came in? Or was this something, you know, you started from the ground level? And you started by yourself?
There was a network. It was the network from the village. It was the network from other Greeks that had come here earlier. And so they were meeting in common places, in the coffee shops, later on the Sunday in church, or in various places they could gather. And so this was another way to find a job.
That's exactly right. Immigration historians call it chain migration. The first immigrants from one particular region just choose to settle somewhere. And Chicago is a very good example, because that's where the immigrants from southern Greece, the Peloponnese, which experienced great levels of emigration, the Peloponnesian immigrants decided to go to Chicago. And that created this chain migration, and almost 6 or 7 out of 10 immigrants from the Peloponnese area were settling in Chicago and then in other towns around Chicago.
But why Chicago? Why that particular city? And I guess maybe even to a lesser extent Detroit, also, which has a very strong Greek population. But it was in the Midwest. It was off the coast.
Yes. It's the Midwest. It's off the coast. The Greeks, relatively speaking, are the later arrivals. The Irish were already settled. Most of the Italians had already arrived. So in many cases, it's just a question of looking for the available jobs. So there is a westward drift. They go to New York, they go up to New England, they go to the mid-Atlantic states, but as more and more Greeks come, they've got to look for jobs beyond those areas because the market is saturated. And Chicago at the time, of course, was experiencing a tremendous development. So a lot of them decided to make their way to Chicago. And then from Chicago, Chicago becomes a gateway to the West, and many of them get to Chicago and then go off into the West, into the mining and into the railroads.
And you also mentioned the role that Hull House in Chicago played, the Jane Addams organization that helped lots of immigrants. But there's a special affinity with the Greek community there?
There is. Jane Addams, who represented the American progressive view of trying to help the immigrants, set up Hull House, which was geographically located right next to the burgeoning Greek neighborhood, and therefore it was an obvious link between Hull House's activities and the Greek immigrants and their needs. So Hull House and the Greeks are kind of associated, and you know, Maria was alert to this in the documentary, and we did devote some time to outlining that link between Hull House and the Greek Americans.
And it was really touching. We found some photographs from since the beginning of the century, Greeks in Hull House trying to learn English and learning also, teaching them different jobs. And then we found again a bulk of photographs in the 60s when they invited at Hull House a big part of the Greek American community to feast Easter. So,
and there's that wonderful photograph of them roasting a lamb,
yes,
which is the traditional thing Greeks do over Easter.
Mm-hmm. And lots of photographs of the whole process of preparing the eggs and preparing the lambs and, you know, drinking and having fun together. And great photographs of that Kirkland made when Kirkland was unknown. He was very young then.
Mm-hmm. And another place I noticed Greek immigrants tended to flock to was Tarpon Springs, Florida. Not just Florida itself, but that particular town, Tarpon Springs. Why is that?
Sponges.
In a word?
In a word, sponges. What happened was that someone discovered a connection because there was sponge fishing in the Gulf of Mexico, mm-hmm. and there is sponge fishing diving in the Aegean around the Greek islands, especially the island of Kalymnos. And what happened was, believe it or not, the Greeks were more advanced in some technical aspects of sponge diving, which had to do with the needs of sponge diving in the Mediterranean. And someone figured out that the sponges in the Mexican Gulf were as yet unexploited, and decided to literally import Greek sponge fishermen and divers from the Greek islands to Tarpon Springs to start a business there. And from then on, the town grew and grew. And I think in the 1930s, the population of Tarpon Springs, Florida, is actually 51 or 55% Greek for a for a brief stage. So it really becomes a Greek town.
But it was a little less of a melting pot there as opposed to a New York or a Chicago. And I guess that there was ethnic unrest there. But obviously there was, you know, in many cases where you have recent immigrants coming in to blend with those who have been there a while.
But it's interesting also that at the beginning there has been conflict because the Greeks were coming and were taking the jobs from the Americans. So there has been real conflict at the beginning. And another interesting point was the relation of the Greeks in Tarpon Spring and the African Americans. They worked with African Americans together that at that time was unthinkable.
And that's a theme that you carried throughout a good deal of this documentary, is that there is a lot of a sympathetic viewpoint among Greeks toward the African American and the civil rights movement as well. They participated in that.
Yes, the civil rights movement is an example, and we address the role of the then Archbishop Iakovos of the Greek Orthodox Church, who marched with the Reverend Martin Luther King. And in interviews, the Archbishop has said that when his relationship to the civil rights movement was underlined by the fact that in many ways he made the connection between the oppression that African Americans were facing with the oppression that Greeks had faced in the Ottoman Empire, where they were a major ethnic group, but second-class citizens. And he made that connection and therefore was stood on the side and marched with Martin Luther King. And in a sense, that helped the Greek Americans realize that they had some vested interest in the civil rights movement as well.
I guess it's important to point out that, you know, in their early immigration years, they were considered second-class citizens because of skin color.
Absolutely.
Yes. They were described, quote-unquote, as swarthy officially, and sometimes in many other ways not considered, quote-unquote, pure white. And that history and those memories helped them identify with the civil rights movement. And, of course, the civil rights movement, by creating the Back to the Roots movement, influenced the Greek Americans and all the other Southeast European ethnics who had been told to assimilate for several decades in the United States, and now it became legitimate to go back to their own roots, and in many ways they retrieved their ethnicity thanks to the African Americans.
Our guests, go ahead.
There is a famous article of Cage. It is chic now to be Greek. This is some years later. It was New York Times, Alexander.
Yes, he was writing about the revival of ethnicity in New York, and he ended his article by saying it's now fashionable to be Greek. It's chic to be Greek. It was a wonderful way of encapsulating this return of ethnicity.
And what is very interesting as well is that there are lots of similarities with other groups that immigrated in the United States. I mean, in our documentary, there are three big chapters. The first one is immigrants, 1880 to 1920. The second chapter is 1920 till the 60s, and we call it becoming Americans. This is a common experience of all the immigrant groups that came in and then felt the need to assimilate. And then in the 60s, there is this revival of ethnicity again for all the groups.
Mm-hmm. Our guests this morning on Focus 580 are filmmaker, documentarian Maria Ilyu and historian Alexander Kitroff. They produced a documentary called The Journey, The Greek American Dream, and it is being shown this Friday evening at the Spurlock Museum on the University of Illinois campus, and it is open to the public as well. Explain a little about, we touched on employment in the early years, and they're fitting, Greek immigrants fitting into the labor movement as well. They encountered, you know, many of the same difficulties that recent immigrants found in the labor picture. How did they organize and how did they fit into the picture of organized labor as it was being founded in the country? Because you do mention a couple of instances with their migration into mining out west, yeah. and a lot of a couple of different situations where they were involved in organization and in fighting for better standards.
Yes, it is a fascinating story of the immigrant experience, because these immigrants had no background in labor movements and labor organizations. They may have been members of an agricultural cooperative back home, but very little experience. And what I think happens is basically the conditions of the living conditions and the working conditions are so difficult that, in a sense, they have to understand that the only way that they can improve their lives is by joining labor unions. The advantage is, of course, that the labor unions have other ethnic members, earlier immigrants, in there. But it's still, for me, it remains, it's a fascinating leap from having an agricultural background with no urban, with no labor experience to join these labor movements in the early part of the 20th century, and I do believe it's the conditions that push people to make this leap.
The documentary has an interesting portion where they talk about the labor issues and journalism among Greek Americans just starting to be formulated, and one of the stories you have is of, and forgive me if I'm mispronouncing the name, but Maria Economidou, the reporter for mm-hmm. one of the newspapers that went out west to investigate mining.
A very courageous woman. Mm-hmm. Beginning of the century, she just left from New York and has been everywhere around the United States to see what was happening. And she arrived in Utah in the mines and has been down there and was trying to find out how the Greeks were working under horrible conditions, and wrote a very important article at the time.
An interesting story of her going down into the mines and the miners being surprised, because I mean it was hard to find certainly a woman in that situation in the turn of the century, and especially one that was speaking their language.
They thought it was an angel, they said.
But they wound up giving her some valuable information, and I suppose that worked into the labor movement as well. What other things that Greek Americans have moved into when they first started? There were particular sectors where they had taken over quite a bit. Shoeshine parlors in the turn of the century in New York, and a lot of people think of Greek Americans as excelling in the food service trade. But that does have a history with the first immigrants.
It has, but it's very interesting that all around the United States, all those people that had or have diners used the wealth that came out from those diners in order to educate their children. So education has been very important for the Greek immigrant group in the U.S. The children of those people have been to colleges and studied and thrived. And, you know, there is a famous story with Alexander Payne. His dad had a diner, and one of the people that were providing machinery at the place came and said, you know, they brought me a camera. I don't know what to do with that. Would you like to have it as a present? And the father got it, and then Alexander Payne started doing his first films.
Interesting how that happens. What is it that there were some possible explanations as to why Greek Americans, many of them, began in the restaurant trade?
Well, George Tselos has an interesting idea about it. Do you remember, Alexander, the idea George had that in Greece. Everybody, I mean, all those people before coming here, they were small landowners. They had a small piece of earth. So they were doing whatever they thought was the best they could do. They had their own strategy. So for them, it was much easier to have a small diner, probably, than to work in a different way. What do you think about that, Alexander?
Well, yes. I mean, Greek agriculture is basically very small landowners. We don't have big estates, which occur in other parts of Europe. So people are used to small land ownership and being their own boss. So that makes a lot of them gravitate towards a small business, because that'll be a way in which they can continue to be their own boss. So the Greeks do go into small businesses. Now, the restaurant business and the diners is very interesting, because there's clearly a food culture in Greece that comes along, crosses the Atlantic with the Greeks. And it may be as well, particularly the restaurants and the diners, that there is a sense of wanting to replicate your own cuisine, or just it signifies the importance of food among the Greeks. And it's also, of course, an easy way to make money, because you've got easy turnover in the diner and the restaurant business. And again, it may also be that there is a niche at the time, there is a need for this, and it happens that the Greek immigrants move in and take over that sector, and then it becomes a kind of self-fulfilling prophecy. They stay there because it's successful.
But it happened at the right time. They were at the right time, the right place, and you go from there, I suppose.
That's in many cases, that's how history works. You're there at the right time, at the right place, and then it continues to happen, yes.
Our guests again are Maria Iliou and Alexander Kitroff, the documentary The Journey, The Greek-American Dream. Your questions and comments are welcome on Focus 580. Give us a call at 333-9455 or 1-800-222-9455. As the people settle in and if not assimilate, then get accustomed to life across the continent, or across the world from their native country, there were groups that would start and represent Greek Americans, and there was some conflict among in the concept of how Greek Americans should assimilate or not, and that led to two, I guess, competing organizations at first, right?
Yes.
Tell me a little about how those got started.
It's if you think back, it's not surprising. What happens in the United States after World War I, because there is a concern about the numbers of Southeast European immigrants and whether or not they'll assimilate, immigration is restricted, and the authorities begin a campaign to promote assimilation and Americanization. And the question is, how do these immigrants respond, and how do they react to this? And we've got two trends. We've got the American Hellenic Progressive Association, AHEPA, which is established in Atlanta, which is the organization that promotes assimilation and Americanization among the Greek Americans. And they seem to be so enthusiastic about Americanization, that creates concerns among other members of the Greek American community. So we have the appearance of the Greek American Progressive Association, GAPA, which is their counterpart, which is not against assimilation, but is very concerned that wishes that assimilation takes place without losing anything of the ethnic Greek roots. So they want to, in a sense, combine assimilation but retain Greekness. AHEPA is, in its early history at least, very, very concerned with Americanization.
And that balance has been something that's been talked about ever since. The balance between Americanization and keeping your ethnic identity.
And I think it continues almost to today. I'd say if you had asked me to sum up the Greek American experience, and I think you know, and I think Maria agrees, and I think we tried to convey that in the documentary, that it's a continuous negotiation between Greekness and Americanness, and even, you know, second and now third generation Greek Americans still want to retain some of their roots, and they've got to decide how much of their heritage they'll embrace and how much they will express themselves as Americans. So it's a thread that runs through the Greek-American experience.
And at this point, I would like to add that while the documentary gradually began to take shape, the materials themselves, the very story we had narrated, brought to us a new idea, which in reality has always been inside us, but which now, in a way, took form. These forgotten photographs and films gave back to us our collective memory and simultaneously allowed us to view the present and the future from a different perspective. I mean, that memory regained from such an experience reminds us that accepting diversity and otherness is valuable for a society that knows how to evolve. And this is something very important also for the present and the future in this country, and not only in this country.
Yeah, it's interesting how the, you know, the photographs and old films give, you know, somebody who may just be reading about this topic, you know, the other perspective that this, you know, this was real life for them, and it's something that you could associate yourself with in that time.
Yes, and that reminds you how important it is to live in a society that is able to be open towards otherness. Mm-hmm.
One thing, I'll go back in the documentary, and one thing that that was pointed out, the first immigrants from Greece were the men. This was a male immigration at first, and it wasn't until a little bit later that we saw more women immigrating. Why is that?
Well,
and was that unique to Greek immigration as opposed to other groups?
I don't think so. There are also other groups, other ethnic groups. Also in Italy, first the men came from Italy, and then later on the women. The situation was so difficult in Greece that first the men had to leave, had to come here, make money, send back the money for the dowries, for the sisters. And I believe that they were thinking they would go back. But then slowly they lived here, and it was more difficult to go back. So they went back just to marry, to bring wives and have children and live in this country.
It was interesting to know that they thought of this as a temporary migration.
Yes. And it's interesting also that they went back in Greece in order to fight for the Balkan War. So it was a long voyage, and they left from here in order to go and fight for the Balkan Wars, and then most of them came back.
And it's also interesting that you bring that up because you know they didn't forget their old country, that they did feel themselves as still Greek citizens, so they would go back for the Balkan War. Did they go back during any of those other situations, World War II, where Greece stemmed the flow from Italy and joined the Allies?
Of course.
And there was the civil war in Greece after that.
Lots of them fought during the Second World War, and it's interesting because this is another turning point in relation with the image of the Greeks in this country, because this is the first moment that the Greek community is really accepted because of the resistance, because of the fight between Greeks and Italians, and because of the fact that the Greeks were able to win.
They're able to keep Mussolini out of their country.
Yes, exactly. And suddenly the Greeks are now part of the Allies, and they've been told to assimilate in the 1920s and the 1930s, and now they are recognized as coming from a country that is part of the Allies and fighting Mussolini's fascist Italy. So that suddenly generates a great deal of positive coverage for Greece and, by extension, the Greek Americans in the 1940s. And that is, as Maria said, it's the beginning of the acceptance and really true assimilation into American society.
Yet those events overseas also prompted more waves of immigration after World War II. The Greek Civil War brought yet more immigrants here.
Indeed, from about the 1950s onwards, we have a new wave of immigrants. So we have a total of about 100,000 Greeks emigrate from the 1950s through to the mid-1970s.
What impact did that Civil War have on Greek Americans? Was there a difference of opinion back home? Was there unrest here? How did that all shake out here? And the Civil War there was devastating after World War II.
Yes, it was devastating. The community was divided. Politically, they were not necessarily left-wing, but the community was generally divided into liberals and conservatives. And the Civil War, of course, brought a new division between left and right in Greece. Many of the Greeks, though, had been away for a couple of decades at least, so they were not that connected with the unfolding of the divisions in Greece, but there was a segment of the community that sided with the left, especially in the early part of the 1940s when the left took the lead in the resistance against the Germans. But when Greece plunged into a civil war from 1946 to 1949, then there was division in the community, that's true, and the divisions were only overcome in the 1950s.
This is Focus 580. Our guests are Maria Iliou and Alexander Kitroev. They have produced the documentary The Journey, The Greek American Dream, and you'll be able to see it this Friday evening at the Spurlock Museum on the U of I campus. We have a call this morning, a listener in Champaign with a question. Thanks for joining us. Good morning.
Yes, I kind of want to go over a point that I thought I heard you mention. I was kind of busy, and you mentioned this in the Greek American Experience, and my interest peaked. And that is, you mentioned some connection with the Greek experience, immigrant experience, Greek American experience here in the United States, and the African American Civil Rights Movement. Did I misunderstand that, or was that stated?
We talked about that association.
And could you sort of elaborate on that again? Because that really piques my interest. I'm African American, and I know a couple. The husband is African American, and the wife is Greek American. So I just really wanted to hear about that interaction between the Greek American immigrant experience and the African American Civil Rights Movement.
Well, first of all, I imagine you know that Iacovos marched at Selma, Alabama, and he was one of the few religious leaders that did that at that point. So this is something very important to remember.
Yes, the point is that the Greek Americans identified with the African American Civil Rights Movement, partially because Iacovos, their religious leader, saw a connection between the oppression the African Americans were experiencing and the oppression that Greeks had experienced in an earlier phase of their history when they were a minority in the multi-ethnic Ottoman Empire. So that connection was made, and the fact that the religious leader expressed that connection shaped the way a lot of Greeks regarded the civil rights movement.
Let me ask you this, a follow-up. We have so much ethnic and racial separation in this country, or segregation. Is there any connection now in any part of the country, or close connection between the African-American community and the Greek-American community?
That's a difficult question to answer. Let me be, you know, upfront with you. What we're saying about the connections with the civil rights movement doesn't imply that there wouldn't be some Greek Americans who might not be, you know, supportive of African Americans. Unfortunately, there's racism everywhere in our society. So I'm not trying to sugarcoat this one, but I think historically, there are many Greek Americans who regard those bear in mind those those connections and respect the African Americans for their struggles and see parallels.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for your call. Let's go to another caller, Eels, who is also in Champaign. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. I wanted to ask the guests about how Greek Americans perceive modern Greece, and what is the relationship of the children, grandchildren of the immigrants to the Greece of today? Are there organizations that support Greece, Greek causes, you know, etc.?
Well, I think there is a very strong bond with Greece. I mean, the Greek Americans, lots of them go back during summer. They have ties, and also lots of children, third generation, that do not speak any more Greek, are very much interested to go back to Greece to discover their roots. And there is a very interesting project called the Next Generation Project. I don't know if you ever heard of it.
I believe I have. It's based in Washington, D.C.
Yes, exactly. It's very interesting what they do. Because, for example, this summer they organized a trip in Greece, which was very interesting for youngsters that have never been in Greece. And they do a great work.
Yes, I think the interesting thing is that the different generations of Greek Americans relate to Greece in many ways, but in different ways. Those who are, let's say, first generation relate to Greece in a more political way, and we've got the lobbying organizations in Washington that promote Greek causes. But the American-born Greeks may be less political, but they identify with Greece in terms of its heritage, in terms of its culture, or relate to Greece as a homeland of their ancestors, and exactly go and visit and identify with Greece in those ways.
But there isn't that very close tie. Do they keep in touch with political goings on there, or news from Greece otherwise?
Well, I wouldn't say politically, probably, but surely they do connect in very important ways. For example, during the last disaster, the fires in Peloponnese a year ago, lots of Greek Americans helped very much the villagers to overcome this terrible situation by offering large donations.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for your call, caller in Champaign. And one other thing that I just thought about was what is the status of Greek Americans as far as Greek citizenship goes? I know that in some countries, descendants from generations are still able to vote in domestic elections in their native countries or their ancestry. How does that work in Greece?
Well, first of all, Greek citizenship is decided on a cultural heritage basis. Mm-hmm. So even if you come to the United States and you acquire American citizenship, the Greeks still consider you a Greek citizenship. But in terms of the elections, that's a good question, because the Greeks, up to now, the Greeks abroad have not been allowed to vote in the Greek elections, but the parliament, the Greek government is examining now they're actually looking at legislation which will enable Greeks based abroad, who still, of course, retain their Greek citizenship, to vote in the Greek elections. And that's an interesting... There's an interesting debate about this as well, because
right.
Some people say, why would we do this? Because, you know, if there is polarization in Greece, political polarization, why should the community be polarized?
And I wonder what they would think about, you know, a group that is detached from actual day-to-day activity in Greece being able to have a say in Greek politics.
Exactly. That's the right point. And in fact, there are some Greek American leaders who are pushing the envelope and asking for the Greeks abroad to actually be able to send representatives to the Greek parliament. And that raises the issue, well, how can that happen when you are somewhat detached? So, you know, voting may be a good halfway of dealing with this problem.
Interesting question. Let's take another call right now. Caller in Urbana. Good morning.
Good morning. I've been following this fascinating discussion, and I'd like to follow up on what you were just talking about by asking what has been the impact of the documentary when it was shown in Greece, and how is it that this history is enriching the native Greeks, those that live in Greece, their understanding not only of the Greeks of the diaspora, but also how is it broadening their perspective on how to deal with immigrants who have arrived in Greece today from various countries?
Well, the screenings in Greece started in 2007 in Athens, in Benaki Museum, by initiative of its artistic director, Angelo De Livorias. The screenings were so successful for 3 months that the museum opened a second auditorium that was playing in parallel the film. We did not expect that, but it was unbelievable how much they were touched, how much they were interested. After that, the film aired through the television in Greece at the Parliament TV station, and once it was screened twice there, then Sky Television appeared and asked to show it 2 more times. And now it is playing all around the Greek provinces in the 7 museums of the Piraeus Bank Foundation, along with the photographical exhibition. So people responded very, very warmly.
That's terrific.
And I think it opened a discussion as well about how Greeks today react towards the other communities, the other immigrants that arrive from all around the world in Greece.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because now Greece has become a country that is accepting immigrants, not sending immigrants, and learning how the Greeks experienced all the difficulties they did in the United States in the early part of the century reminds the Greeks that, these foreign immigrants in their country are experiencing exactly the same thing that the Greeks themselves experienced. Mm-hmm. And let me just add, I think what we tried to do in the documentary was not just talk about an American dream type of trajectory for the Greek Americans, nor did we talk in traditional Greek ways about the Greeks all being geniuses and succeeding abroad. Instead, we tried to show the real story, and I think that's resonated in Greece, and people have really, I think, and all credit to Maria, we've contributed to a better understanding of the Greek American experience among the Greeks in Greece because we've given them the real story.
Yes, in Greece and here as well. Thank you very much. I look forward to the screening tomorrow.
And thanks for your call this morning. We're talking with Maria Iliou and Alexander Kitroff. One thing that I'd like to maybe end up on, we've got a few minutes left, but one person who was quoted in your documentary said on why he became a writer, he said, if you don't feel like you belong in the world you're in as an immigrant, you don't take anything for granted and you have to look beneath the surface to see exactly what's going on and all those things. Explain a little about that perhaps. Why is it that the immigrant looks at things in a different perspective and why that may lead them to succeed in certain areas?
Well, because he has to rediscover everything from the beginning because he doesn't really belong. An immigrant isn't born in this country. He came, who knows at what age. So he has to rediscover everything. He doesn't really belong in a community, but he's starting to. So that's why he has really to discover everything from the beginning. And this can make him very attentive, very intuitive, and he can look at things from a different point of view.
And you experienced that, I guess, as an immigrant of sorts yourself. Are you an American citizen, too?
No, I'm not. I came here just 3 years ago, and I came here I was thinking I would stay here for 6 months, and I'm still here. I came with a Fulbright Career Award, and then this has been extended, and then we made the film, and here I'm now working on the next film.
And Alexander, what your input on that, too?
Well, yes, I think the advantage of the outsider is that the outsider doesn't take anything for granted and therefore tries even harder. And I think that's the good thing about having immigrants and outsiders in your society. And I've been just over 20 years now in the United States, and I've got citizenship, and I've got to remind myself every day that of how, you know, I shouldn't be taking things for granted. The more I get settled, the more I get assimilated, I worry I may be losing that little edge I had when I first came here and I wanted to make it.
What keeps you with that edge, besides the research that you do? Are there still associations? Are there still Greek neighborhoods, fellow immigrants that people can rely on to keep that Greekness?
Oh, there's a huge network through the web and through personal relationships. And, myself, I even, follow Greek soccer. So, the big games are an occasion where I can exchange phone calls with friends, etc.
And now there's a chance you can see them on satellite somewhere.
That's right. Yes.
I would like to remind that the same day of the screening, we're celebrating the inauguration of a new program of modern Greek studies at the University of Champaign.
At Illinois, yes. In fact, our provost here on campus, Linda Katehi, is very integral in that as well, a Greek immigrant as well.
So next year, whoever would like to study Greek language or literature and culture could subscribe.
And I guess a few more of those programs are popping up across the country as well.
And it's such a great thing that, I think the documentary in many ways is not just the story of the Greek Americans. It's the story of American immigrants who happen to be Greek. And the success of Greek studies is drawing the connection between the Greek experience and the Greek American experience with the broader experience. And I think it's a wonderful fit that the documentary is kicking off the Greek studies program.
Alexander Kitroev is a historian. Maria Iliou is filmmaker and director of The Journey, The Greek American Dream. Thank you, both of you, for joining us this morning.
Our pleasure.
Good to be with you, Tom.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure talking about this. And The Greek American Dream, The Journey, the documentary, will be shown Friday evening at 6:30. At 4:30 rather, at the Spurlock Museum's Knight Auditorium. That's at 600 South Gregory in Urbana. The film of the Greek immigration to America from 1890 to 1980, with interviews from many prominent Greek Americans.